Hey everyone, and welcome to this, a soapbox edition of the Risky Business Podcast, brought to you by BlackBerry Silence. I'm Patrick Gray. As regular listeners know, this isn't the weekly Risky Biz news and current affairs show. If you want that, scroll back in your podcast feed to the previous podcast. This is a soapbox edition, a solely sponsored podcast series we do here at Risky Biz, where vendors pay us to come onto the show to talk about, well, whatever they want, really. So, you know, in the past, we've heard Duo Security talking about WebAuthn. We got one coming up soon with Proofpoint. That's about insights they've gleaned from filtering such ridiculous amounts of email and watching attacks unfold. And in this edition, Garrett Gradjek from BlackBerry Silence will be along to talk about its new product, Silence Persona. So, Silence, and that is, of course, spelled C-Y-L-A-N-C-E, it was best known as a so-called next-generation antivirus firm. They built a really good machine learning-based file classifier, and the end result of that is they kind of came out of nowhere and became a $1.4 billion company. Well, that's what BlackBerry paid for them, anyway, in its recent acquisition. But this latest product is kind of out of the box. I haven't seen anything quite like it. And BlackBerry Silence's very own Garrett Gradjek is here to talk about it. Basically, Persona is a machine learning classifier that you install on the endpoint, and it learns what typical user behavior looks like for that user. And once that user behavior, you know, that box is seeing starts diverging from what's expected, the software can perform actions like kicking up a 2FA request, locking the user out, or, you know, really whatever you want. It's a novel approach to dealing with compromised endpoints. You know, two-factor authentication is great, but if your endpoints are hosed, it doesn't really help you as much as we'd like to think it does, right? And that's what this new thing is really about. Now, when Garrett, during this podcast, started talking about zero trust in this interview, I thought he was doing like a little bit of cheeky Marketroid-esque shoehorning, but putting user behavioral analysis on the endpoints actually kind of makes sense under a zero trust model. Now, I have no idea if this is an approach that's going to float. I have no idea, but it is certainly something new. It's certainly something different to the UEBA model as it's typically applied that looks at cred use and things like that. And instead, you know, this is really about pushing some smarts out to the endpoint. So yeah, it is interesting stuff. Anyway, I will stop prattling on now and drop you into this interview with Garrett Gradjek, BlackBerry Silence's VP of Identity. Here's what he had to say.
We're doing authentication. I don't care if it's wonderful products, Duo, you know, Gemalto, RSA Secure ID, etc. We're doing the two-factor to increase our level of identity assurance. Now, what's the problem with that? Is that, as you mentioned, we have hackers getting onto our systems. They're not always going through the front door. They're coming through back doors. They're coming through the different ports. They're coming through the different executables. Then they are becoming that user. All we had was that front door. What Persona is about is saying, okay, it's to change the game of authentication. Authentication was saying, I'm the moat. If you get through me, then I trust you. What Persona says, the new story is, you will come on the system, you will authenticate as the authentication lifecycle says, and that could be whatever we want, username, password, or it could be, you know, a FIDO or another type of authentication, et cetera. We're amenable to the workflow. But once that user is on, that identity that they claimed is now associated with an AI model. An AI model based on the biometrics of that user, and that's biometric behavior, not biometric as in retina or iris. That's biometric behavior. How that user types, how the user uses his mouse, is it being a V1 with other models coming forward? And then the conduct. What does G Gradjek, when I log on to my Silence desktop, what does G Gradjek do? G Gradjek starts hangouts like this, starts Zoom meetings, gets on PowerPoints, writes up spreadsheets, etc. Now, if G Gradjek starts doing all these different type of activities that are not associated with G Gradjek, enumerating, scanning, in addition to trying to elevate my privileges, the models get triggered.
Where do the models get triggered, though? Because if it's just on the endpoint, I mean, say I dump an endpoint, you know, grab a bunch of creds. I mean, assuming that I then log in using those creds from another endpoint, I mean, the models aren't going to catch it if it's just on the endpoint, right? Like,
That's a really good point. Again, that's why in our early tests we said to solve this, we're going to have to do both anomalous models, models that get trained by user activities, and we're going to have to do malicious models. In your use case, also another modification we made through the process is the models would also, the conduct models would have to be would have to roam. E.g., G. Grajek on this machine, if I go onto another machine, which is in the domain, and I'm using G. Grajek, my conduct models would roam over there. In addition to that,
So as part of your authentication flow, you would need the server to understand that it's supposed to have this agent on it, and there is some sort of test to make sure the agent is present. Is that how it works? Or
yes. The agent itself has a, in the case of Windows, a Windows credential provider, which you then centrally configure to say what your initial authentication is. And then we set thresholds of tolerance for the user, the biometrics plus the conduct. How much is the threshold? And then if that threshold's past the first level, what is the conviction? As we call it, conviction. Conviction means, okay, we believe this user's not trust. Do you want to be active or passive? If you want to be active, we can turn off, suspend the processes, log off the user, and do a step-up authentication.
So and this really sounds like it is primarily designed to secure Windows domains, right? Because you do need that integration on both ends of the auth chain. I'd imagine, you know, applying this to web applications is going to be a whole other level of impossible.
Well, watch this workflow. The V1 is 100%, you're 100% correct, Patrick, that V1 is a Windows domain, right? And then we'll get on to other parts of devices that aren't part of the domain. The conduct models, the way we're working on right now, can be kept both in AD or up in our cloud, so it doesn't have to be Windows eventually. Now, what's very interesting in the BlackBerry acquisition is that they were working on models in the cloud that their sensors were agnostic to whatever the actual point of collection is. Our sensors, of course, were at the endpoint because that's what we're very good at. They built a bunch of cloud mechanisms that can take sensors from other activities, including SSO models, mobile, et cetera, to help come up with an identity score of the user in a more holistic sense. And that's what we are working on right now. How do we combine the holistic work that they've done with the very device-centric work that my team has done?
Now, I've noticed, and you know, we were talking a little bit before we hit record, I've noticed that, you know, your cut-through sort of controversial statement is 2FA has run its course and we need to move on to what's next. I'd imagine, you know, partially that line is caused by, I'd imagine, a little bit of resistance in the marketplace from people who look at this and then say, no, we're going to continue rolling out our Duo project, so we don't need this. Is that something that you're encountering?
Not necessarily. And maybe it's because of the level of maturity, Patrick, the companies I'm talking to. At this level of time, especially, what's really important is because I've been working for Cylance and coming through the door of the SOC, and the SOC and these people all are, you know, either CEH certified or been pen testers or whatever, they understand that authentication itself is not the end-all be-all for identity assurance. What the gamut that I get taken through is not so much the need for continuous authentication, but the actual details and how it will work. I would say this, in my past lives, Patrick, was I've been just a straight two-factor person? Yes. If I was just talking to a person who knew nothing but how to configure, you know, Radius server or TACX server and knew how to do, you know, secure ID tokens and Duo and all that, they would look at me and going, I don't understand. The two factors working. But I'm usually talking to the SOC who's understanding that they're responsible for the hack, whether it comes through via a, you know, a malware implanted, whether it comes through some other mechanism, or if it's a breach credential, they're still responsible.
So I guess at that point, at the SOC level, I can understand that how for, you know, for a very large company, if you're able to, especially if you're an existing Cylance user, like rolling this out, expanding this, expanding the sort of licensing and the capability of the agent that's already out there to do this sort of thing, it's probably going to provide you some interesting telemetry and maybe find some stuff that you weren't expecting. I'd imagine you do have some alpha users out there already. Is that right?
Yeah, what I've done is I've built out internal alphas, and then we are testing internally. We haven't released alphas to customers and partners yet. It's all still internal. Yeah. We've got we're on like our generation 3 of the models, and that's really where we're putting our efforts, is trying to tune the models as intelligently we can. There's a real concept in user AI as opposed to just process AI. User AI requires the need to use multiple models. Like I talk about mouse and keystrokes, plus also then the conduct. Okay, what that means is I need a meta model to aggregate these models together. And that meta model itself needs to be tuned to look for the strongest signal.
So I'm just wondering, like in your testing, what types of scenarios, you know, and I am going to couch this in terms of multi-factor authentication, because that's sort of what you're saying, this is the next thing. So can you give me a few examples of things that this has stopped that multi-factor authentication didn't?
Well, multi-factor authentication simply doesn't stop the start with the device. The device that says, okay, I'm logged on, and I walk away straight out. I mean, that's one of the, in the demos that I do all the time. I say, great, Gary gets on there, and I can start this with a FIDO U2F authentication if I wish.
Yeah, and then forget about it, walk away, and go away for the weekend, and someone's got a shell on your box, and they're being you.
Yeah, and they're your use. Or the PSS Zekis attacks, et cetera, that get on. Or the user that is the legitimate user, but is now doing a complete anomalous usage of downloads and network activities on your network that we've never seen before.
And yeah, see, and now I understand why you used that continuous authentication terminology earlier, because, you know, of all of the things that you've said, that's the one that's cut through for me, of course, is, you know, I mean, I use security keys and whatever, and, you know, I think I've logged into some of my G Suite accounts or whatever once, and then it goes back in the Ziploc bag and I sort of forget about it, you know?
Yes, same here, right? And Patrick, I was a web authentication two-factor SSO guy as an SE for various companies for 10, 15 years, depending on how you do a score. What did they do to solve this problem? They didn't say, we're gonna make our poor users out there. Yes, we got them doing SMS. Oh, SMS has been hacked. Okay, great. Now we'll get them to do. They did their investments, be it the banks or, and the other financials. They did their investments on the back end. They started to use more and more AI, and not just, which really important for the industry to understand, not just contextual. Contextual is good. Contextual authentication means we're going to build models to understand when Garrett usually logs on, what time he logs on, where he's logging in from, what's his mechanism of logging, is he fat finger, et cetera, what is the input mechanisms, is it web, mobile, et cetera. Okay, that's contextual. That isn't bad, but what the websites and app have done is says, okay, what is Garrett's usual patterns of movement through the applications? Does he, you know, is he always just go straight
and
transfer?
Does he check his inbox or does he check his list mail first, right?
Right. Yeah. Or is in the bank says, if he does, he immediately go and say, let's transfer $1 million. And has he ever transferred $1 million? So AI is
feel
working.
Free to transfer me $1 million anytime you'd like, Garrett, by the way.
That'd be, yeah, absolutely.
That'd be great.
Right. So that's where I say it's not, I guess it sounds very bold to the world to say, you know, two factor isn't enough or it's not working, but it's not working in the enterprise because we haven't applied the AI that we know is already working, which is the continuous identity assurance that the financials are using in the quantified resources. What I mean by quantified, I mean the web and the mobile. That's a good quantified space. They can see what you are. I acknowledge that's a much harder task in the enterprise because we've got devices coming from every direction, in inside, outside. We've got different types of devices. We've got different resources they are using. But until we address this problem, we are going to keep on getting hacked and having the apology.
So look, I think the most succinct summary of what this product is designed to do is to avoid endpoint hijacking, right? I mean, that's, if you had to just boil it down, that's it.
I would start with that. What I would say from this is that's the beginning, Patrick, right? Now, I'm sure you do these calls. You probably had some people talk about zero trust. I had a great time walk around RSA, okay, 2019. I've been going for, like everyone else, the last 25 years of my life. And I was walking around with some SEs. They were SEs, but they're like, Garrett, I don't know about the – I love the Persona product. They all love the product. But this zero trust thing, we look like we have a lot of competition. And I was like, who are you talking about? And they, you know, talk to, you know, they're pointed – everyone from the network vendors to the SaaS vendors to the single sign-on vendors. And I'm like, those are enforcement points. We are the score. And that's why I like where you took that. You're very succinct mind. You said succinctly, I see this as locking down the endpoint and stopping the endpoint hijacking for malicious purposes. Right. But I see this as not only solving the hacker problem, but an identity governance product where it says, why did you let someone into Dropbox? Why did you let someone into Google Docs? And as we both just said, the static authentication. And that's where I'm not against Duo. I think it's a great way to get on. I think it's a brilliant invention. But that was done how long ago? How long ago was that session? Was it, you know, a minute ago? Was it 5 minutes ago? What is the reality of that user right now? And that's where I see a dynamic identity assurance score is got to be part and parcel of the enterprise solution if we're ever going to solve the problem of attack and misuse of credentials.
All right. I think that's a good place to end that part of the discussion, right? But I'm curious to have a broader discussion, I guess, about the BlackBerry tie-in, right? Because it's been a little while. The companies, I'm guessing, are mostly integrated. I'm guessing Silence has been consumed by BlackBerry already. Is that right?
I would say the BlackBerry, first of all, in my calls with BlackBerry on the engineering side, I have nothing but the utmost respect for the work they've done and the team members they have. Very, very learned discussions ahead and very, very informative both ways on what they've mastered in the mobile and the cloud and respectful what we've mastered on the endpoint. It's very, very collaborative and a very non-contradictory of our two very strengths.
Well, it's funny. Sorry to cut you off there, but I remember once 15 years ago, I interviewed the co-CEO of BlackBerry, which was then called Research in Motion. He was one of the founders, Jim Balsillie. And I think I was doing like one of those puffy profile pieces for the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, but we just had a fascinating conversation. Like the guy was super smart. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, but the founders of BlackBerry had been at it for quite a while before BlackBerry became this huge thing that turned them all into billionaires. And his view was that, you know, BlackBerry had always kind of been a security company, but they were an applied security company that kind of produced a mobile email product. Like, I just thought the guy's perspective was pretty awesome, and he really did know his shit. And I'm hoping that sort of bled through to the rest of the company.
It is unbelievable. I was simply, I didn't know what to expect. Like everyone else, great BlackBerry. You haven't, you know, really followed them in the last couple of years. I get on some calls, and I'm like, wow, this is going to be a lot of fun. Very collaborative mind, 37,000 patents. I mean, they got a few smart guys, okay? Mm-hmm. And now we're working together on this. Would I, you know, say that we're you know, completely absorbed in, of course, we are absorbed. We're on their payroll systems. We're in, you know, joint meetings together. The products, it's coming. There's great meetings going on. Like I said, they have some brilliant stuff being done in the cloud. Their ability to scale is unparalleled. That's what we really get out of this. Because you took this right away. So Garrett, I get it. You got something that's pretty neat, a device. I like what you're doing. You get into the biometrics, contest, put it together. Okay, what about the other aspects? What about the other enforcement points out there? That's what we're going to get together, working together in the BlackBerry world.
Because they're one of their big plays is MDM, right? And I can imagine that you'd be working on some mobile stuff.
MDM and IoT.
Yeah.
Okay. They a lot of this is what we're sharing. A lot of the models that I built, right, have special concepts of network traffic, et cetera. What is IoT? IoT is network traffic. So we work together on coming on some designs and some solutions with their ability to scale and their ability to deploy being unparalleled. And let's not forget their whole exposure and their dominance in the auto space.
Yeah. It was, I mean, what a wild ride for them, right? Because all of a sudden they became this massive, massive company. Then they kind of got crushed by Apple, and now they're being reborn as a much, look, I mean, you look at their market cap, let's be honest, they're a much smaller company than they were at their peak, right, by market cap, like tiny, but they're still around. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, there's, like you said, once you really figure out stuff and really make things work, that they're going to be around. And as in we're all BlackBerry, we are specialists in security, and we are both specialists in silence and in the understandings of the IoT. Well, they're focused on IoT. We focused on the device. It's actually very similar and collaborative. Their just ability to scale helps us to scale our solution much larger and broader.
Do they have any other sort of Windows desktop plays? Because I can't think of any off the top of my head.
No, I haven't. There's nothing contradictory. There is no overlap there. What it was is I'm very, very keen on taking this, not just for a V1 and solving the desktop, but to move on to the other aspects in the entire corporation and enterprise. And that's where my discussions with them have been brilliant, because they have a lot of the hooks already.
It's funny, right? Because a lot of the mobile attacks that we were sort of expecting, I mean, the types of malware we've seen affecting mostly Android, right? I mean, there's some very, very niche stuff for iOS, but the stuff affecting Android, I mean, it tends to be that regular sort of Play Store shitware. We haven't seen, you know, the red team, as I know, I mean, maybe if they're on a really super exotic gig, they might try attacking a mobile device as a part of that, but it's not something you really hear about that often. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's a risk that's not going to materialize down the track. And there is a bit of a lack of sort of enterprise security software for mobile because the threat hasn't really materialized. But I'd suspect, you know, BlackBerry would be pretty much in the box seat if that does kick off, right?
Yes. They hit before even the Cylance acquisition. They've already worked on a whole system for the apps that get integrated with their connector to feed into their cloud, come up with an AI score, and then help you understand whether this user is that user in a trusted way. Now with us feeding into the system, and what I'm very interested in is taking the combined identity trust score of that user at the mobile and the identity trust score of what I have at the device, and then coming up with a much more holistic user identity. You just said something, telemetry, right? Well, wouldn't it be good to know that user that logs on, they also have an idea where he usually logs on in a much more quantifiable way, namely his mobile device?
Well, you could even have like location tracking, right? Where someone's mobile phone is in the building and they're sitting at their workstation. You know, that gives you an idea that they're sitting at their workstation, but if their mobile device is like in another state and they're logging in from their desktop, I mean, you know, you can do all sorts of stuff there, but then you're tracking your employee location. It's all a bit creepy.
Understood. There is something I think we should definitely mention, especially in the area of persona. A creepy matters. I mean, let's ask our fine friends that are being sued about GDPR and soon to be sued for CCPA. Creepy matters. That went into a large part of the decision on how to design persona, which is the data that I collect is kept on the device and I'm not having it leave. Okay, the biometric data. Whereas I kind of wonder a lot of the other mechanisms that the industry has come up with, very good algorithms, to identify users once they're logged on. And that data is then held off the device and either on-premise or in the cloud. But then we know under the guidelines of these privacy regulations, if it's identifiable information, we are told we have to forget, which I think is pretty hard. A large Hadoop.
But what sort of info are you talking about there? Because things like, you know, face ID scans and whatever, they're not shunted off to the cloud. They go into a secure enclave in the case
right.
of iOS.
No,
right?
I'm talking about the products that fell into the categories of UEBA. And they collect information through the wire and through the SIMs and through your other logins of who you are and what your normal behavior is. And then
do you think that counts as PII though? Like,
I have had discussions with GDPR people who said, okay, if you're collecting all this information, right? And then I can reformulate and say, this is you. Then there could be concern on that information. It all depends how integrated that information, how in depth that information is.
That is an interesting thought, but given the dumpster fire that is, you know, GDPR and privacy regulation non-compliance out there, I can't imagine regulators going after that. Not now anyway, but like maybe in 5 years.
Exactly.
when some of those UEBA businesses go bankrupt and start selling that information off to like Google so that they can profile people visiting sites that have a bit of JavaScript embedded in them, you know.
Nice.
Like, yeah, I can imagine that might become a problem one day.
Yes. Yes. Data is powerful, but data is dangerous, right?
Mm.
I think GDPR was one level of the concern that we on this side of the business have to worry. I think CCPA will bring it up to a whole nother level.
Now, one integration that I can imagine would make a lot of sense, and I'll be absolutely stunned if this isn't actually on your roadmap, but I'd imagine you'd be using, you know, if you've got a customer who's a BlackBerry shop, you know, they're using BlackBerry MDM. So they've got the footprint on the mobile device. You've got the footprint on the desktops as well. You know, if there is some suspicious behavior, I think I spoke to someone from Cylance previously, and they said, you know, one of the things that you can do on detecting suspicious behavior on the desktop is kick it up for 2FA. I'd imagine you can offer 2FA via the BlackBerry footprint on the mobile device, right? You can go, okay, do a face scan or thumbprint or whatever the hell.
Exactly. They have fingerprint biometrics, and that is certainly something we're looking to integrate with. And it's like I said, I'm not against 2FA. 2FA is good. It should be part of the workflow.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see where all of this goes. It's going to be interesting to see what sort of integrations we wind up seeing being spun out of BlackBerry post-Cylance acquisition. You know, it's all very interesting stuff. Garrett Krajcik, thank you so much for joining us for this Soapbox Edition. It's been a real pleasure to chat to you.
Thank you for your time.
That was Garrett Krajcik there from Cylance BlackBerry. If that is something you are interested in, Cylance Persona, do get in touch with them. You can find them at cylance.com, cylance.com. And that is it from me this week. I do hope you enjoyed this podcast. But until next time, I've been Patrick Gray. Thanks for listening.